Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
Listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. Sunday's guest is Lita O'Hara, the Nashville needlepointer, and we're going to talk about needlepoint finishing. Some good tips in there, so that was a good conversation with Lita. And, yeah, we enjoyed her.
Yep. Yes.
She's a fun follow on the Instagram, too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Go look up a video of her and her husband.
Yep. Some good video. Yeah. Yeah. Some good videos. Yep. Check that out. Next Wednesday will be the Stitch Hour again. Stitch and Chat next Wednesday. And if you haven't listened, this past Sunday, our show with Kelly Teske on Vision. That came out really, really good.
Yeah. I learned a lot. I still haven't done anything with what I've learned, but I learned a lot.
Yep. No, I haven't either, but I mean, the goal was enough information to ask intelligent questions, and I now know how to approach my eye exam is coming up the end of May. And now I have a plan instead of just going in there, you know, going through all the tests and getting out of there. Because of that conversation Sunday, I have a plan for how I'm going to get regular glasses and stitching glasses. Because for me, the stitching glasses have really triple value because working on sewing machines, that's a lot of close-up work on small parts. And then doing maintenance on my bike, both of my bikes, that's a lot of, there's a lot of close-up work with that too. And so these glasses that I get are going to have, it's not like they're going to sit up here where I stitch and collect dust or be used and or collect dust. They're going to be moving all over the place. And so because of Kelly, I now see the real value in having that second pair of line trifocals. Yeah, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I know I keep thinking, oh, I wish I had this information before I went to see my doctor. But I think a phone call to them will tell me whether they're going to be willing to help me find stitching glasses, find a second pair. And if they're not, then maybe I need to find myself another optometrist. Right. So,
well, and wasn't that was another thing I took away from it is what you can expect from your optometrist, from your eye doctor, ophthalmologist, optometrist, mm-hmm. whichever one it is, and your optician, what you can expect from them versus quite frankly, what I've been getting all my life, which is do the thing. Here's your prescription. Get out of here. We got another one.
Right.
And, that was really eye opening.
I like my eye doctor. I mean, he's very helpful. He's very friendly. He was a little worried about me having macular degeneration. So he did some extra tests one year. He says, I really want to check you out. He says, I hate to do this because I know it's expensive. He says, but I really think you should. And let's get a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before I lost my premium insurance when my husband retired too. So that made a difference. So I'm glad we did it then. We had that baseline.
Yeah.
So that now that it's there. So I do like him, but I need to see if he'll be willing to work with me on getting a second pair of glasses for my stitching. And I do have a pair of prescription sunglasses and they don't have the bifocal in the bottom. I purposely bought them that way because I knew I didn't need that on the bottom for what I do every day for driving.
Okay. We didn't get to that. I wanted to ask you about that in the show. So, cause I knew you had prescription sunglasses. So those are just straight distance vision glasses then.
Right. Right. And I just bought an inexpensive pair, frame, so I could throw them in my backpack with me when we hike. But that's so that I don't have that when you step down, when hiking.
Yep.
I broke a pair of glasses one time while we were hiking because I took them off and I shoved them in my pocket. And then I bent and I was like, oh, there went my glasses.
Mm.
And thank goodness, you know, I have an engineer in the family who is good with duct tape.
A skill you learn as an engineer, yes.
Yes, yes, of course, of course. Yeah, engineers and duct tape, you know, that's yep. what they're known for. But, yeah, no, having a pair of sunglasses without the reader on them, without that bifocal is very helpful for me. And yeah. I use it while I'm driving because I can see the dashboard and I can read it. I don't need the bifocals for that. You know, it's big enough.
Yeah. And see, that's it, the reason I was interested. Well, I was interested in that just in general. But when I'm driving, I just wear my regular glasses and then I have some clip-on sunglasses. But when I'm riding my bike, I do not wear my regular glasses, my regular progressive bifocals. I wear cycling sunglasses, which are not, there's no prescription at all. It's just they're cycling sunglasses because my distance vision is basically fine. I mean, the prescription on that is trivial. And like you with the dashboard, when I'm looking at my bike computer, it's far enough away that I don't have any trouble reading it. But then I take my regular glasses with me on my bike so that if I have to study a map or something because I got lost, which it's been known to happen, you know, then I have those glasses. But that step down thing, because when I wear my regular glasses on my bike, I feel like I'm easily a foot closer to the ground than when I don't have them on. And it's right. That bifocal effect thing. And I know what you mean when you step down. Yeah, it's a weird thing. Because, when I take them off and just go ride, I feel like I'm sitting up so much higher. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. And it's disconcerting. When I first was using the bifocals, that was a pain to get used to. But yeah, and I can't when I'm hiking. I just can't see well enough. I don't feel stable enough. So it's like, okay, these are coming off.
Yep. So anyway, if folks, if you haven't listened to it and share it with others, pass it around. Really, really helpful show on just what you can do and what you can expect and what you can basically get out of your exchanges with your eye doctor and optician. And then go back to the September 2, 2023 show and Rinda Just, who has macular degeneration and stitches, and talking about that whole aspect of eye care, of eyes, eye issues. Yeah. With Kelly there too, but Rinda, she was, that was really enlightening too.
Yes.
For those who you know might have macular degeneration, you baseline for you. Marga's mother had it, and her aunt had it, and so Marga has had a baseline, and she gets checked every time. You know, they monitor that retina because it's in the family. So, yeah. So it's who was it? Marga said, I think she found something on Instagram or whatever, but basically that it was interesting that eye care and dental care in when it comes to health insurance are just add-ons.
Yes.
And that makes you pause and think, wait a minute. What?
Right.
Yeah. So, yep. So thanks again to Kelly for just a tremendous show and a lot of really good information. And listen to that before you go to listen to it, but then make some notes. It's actually, I said to Marga, I said, that's one of the shows that I never listen to these shows. I mean, I just, you know, we record them. I edit out the coughs and the stuff, and I just can't listen to them. Never have. But that one I'm going to go back and listen to and make notes because there's things to be learned there. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. Especially before you go see your doctor.
Right. Right. Yeah. When I get closer to it, I'm going to listen to it so that it's fresh in my mind. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've never been able to do that. I listen to myself a lot just because I got to edit and clean up and so on, but I can't sit down and listen to those.
No. It's like, oh, that's so weird.
Yeah. And then somebody will mention something we said. I don't remember.
I don't remember now.
It's a weird thing. What was in your show? Oh, okay. Sounds good to me. Sounds
sure, good. Whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, long for the ride. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then one more shout to Ekaterina in Ukraine, stitchyprincess.etsy.com. One of thousands of people who've had their lives destroyed by the Russians. Help her out, stitchyprincess.etsy.com. Buy a chart or two. She has some really good stuff there. Mm-hmm. But let's get a little money going her way through chart purchases off her Etsy shop. Help her out.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling helping her out helps out a lot more people, because I'm sure anybody with any income in that situation is doing everything they can to help everybody. So,
right.
Yeah. So, yep. Do that. Yep. All right. You asked the question, is there any needlework project that you said, I have to have this, I must stitch this?
Yeah. And the reason I asked you that question was from 2 weeks ago. You asked Cindy, let's see if I can find the exact question. Now I can't find it.
I asked Cindy how many projects she has sought out versus projects that she got from others because someone else was doing it. Actively went on your own. Yeah.
Right. And it made me think that most projects just seem to come. We see someone else stitching them, whatever. But for me, something that I was like, from the moment I saw it, I wanted to stitch it, was the casket project, the Cabinet of Curiosities from mm-hmm. Thistle Threads. And I saw it first on Mary Corbett's site. Or if I didn't see it there, it was through the EGA magazine. It was like a little article on it mm-hmm. When they were doing the Plymouth jacket. Mm-hmm. And when I saw it and I saw the 3D work, I thought, oh, that's something I'd like to know how to do. How do they do that? And I'd seen them in museums. It just was like, it just got that curiosity, and I wanted to have it. I wanted to stitch it. So for you, what is that piece? What's that piece when you saw it, you're like, I must have it.
It's the Elizabethan Treasures white work piece by Linda Berry.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I like white work anyway, though I do very little of it. I think it's just some of the most elegant stitching that there is. But yeah, that Elizabethan Treasures, I bought the full kit. I got the whole deal. But I've never sat down to do it.
So why? Why? Why haven't you started that piece?
Well, and I think this gets to that whole thing of, are we stitching because others are stitching, or are we stitching what we want to stitch?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a huge dynamic in this hobby art form, a lemming effect, where,
yes.
Look at so-and-so. Oh, that's beautiful. I got to have that too. Where, I think we all have a whole bunch of charts, and I have several projects here that I like and I want to stitch. But am I motivated to move small mountains to sit down and stitch them? No. So then why are they sitting out here, and why is Elizabethan Treasures put away in a box?
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Why is that? And are you, if you look at every live project you have right now, how many of those were because someone else was doing it and you really liked it? Versus, I found that, or that came across, in my scanning of things, and I chose that. I don't know anybody else doing it. I don't care if anybody else is doing it. I want to do it, and I'm going to buy it and do it.
Right, right. And I think the stump work definitely fits under that. And yet, most of the stitching I'm doing It is. It's like, okay, my guild is doing this, or mm-hmm. yeah, I saw this and I thought, oh, it'd be fun to stitch. It'd be fun to have. So why am I not spending time on stitching the casket? Because it's going to be a 4-year project for me, at least minimum. If that's if I'm working on it, because it's got a lot of cool techniques, which is what's appealing about it.
And how long ago was that we did the show when you got that package of the casket, and we did the Wednesday night show and went through everything that was in there? How long ago was that?
2020.
Yeah, probably. Well, certainly mm-hmm. before the pandemic. Okay, but that's the thing. That's my point. Why is that taking a back seat to all these? Look how many projects you've finished since then.
Right.
Yet that was the one that you bought because you saw and you wanted it. So why is that taking a back seat? And I'm not just pointing at you. I'm pointing at me too. Same thing. Why is Elizabethan Treasures taking a back seat? And I've got a couple of others here. Why aren't those out on the table and the other stuff getting a token look?
I think part of it for me is that the technique was totally new. I mean, I had done stump work. I'd done just a little bit on my own. And this mm-hmm. is all new threads, all new techniques that I'd never tried on a very, very, very large project. It's not, we have a couple of Zoom groups going on it, and we discuss all the time. We all go around in circle. It's the same circle every time. How do you finish it? How do you glue it on? Mm-hmm. Did you do a practice box? And some people say yes, and some people say no. But there's that fear of once you get your panels done, you've got to glue them
yeah.
to the box. I know. Ew. So think about that. So, and so there is that. So you kind of like, when you're thinking ahead, you're thinking, it kind of slows me down. It's like, oh, I have to get to the point where I'm going to glue this. Well, maybe I'll just put this away for a while.
Yeah.
And instead of just moving forward on it, it's easy, and it's easy to be afraid of the stitching. You know, it's mm-hmm. it is new stuff. It's a lot of new threads, and a lot of new techniques. I was working on, you're supposed to make these little loops with this silk gimp, and I couldn't get it to work. And I finally got mad and I ripped it out and I said, I'm going to go buy something else to stick in here. And they laughed at me. They're like, Beth, you know, try again. After I calmed down by myself, I sat and I re-put the loops in.
Yeah, you got it to work. It looks good.
I did.
Yeah.
But it took me a while. It took me, and that was at least 4 or 5 hours on, oh goodness, is it 2 inches?
Mm-hmm.
2 inches by less than 1 inch high. It's a small little spot.
Yeah, but it looks cool.
It does look cool, but we're talking 5 hours of work.
Yeah.
So it is a massive project. So it does, when you think of it, you think, well, I'll work on this little cross stitch project because, you know, I can see progress on it. I can make, you know, quick progress and I can get something done. So for me, those are the thoughts that go through my head.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is, what is it with your white work piece? Because this is gorgeous. I have the piece that you're talking about, the Elizabethan Treasures, but all I have is the cover photo. And the cover photo is pretty.
Yeah.
But you've seen it real.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not even close. Nope. Not even close. And I have the other one. There's a sister project that goes with it. I have that one. I forget the name of it, but I have that full kit too.
Of course you do.
Yeah. But see... Okay, so, but that's the part for, you know, why isn't that happening? Okay, a couple of things. One, path of least resistance, where, you know, making X's on linen is mindless, you know, whatever, and you mm-hmm. can see progress. So path of least resistance, but also is it, for at least for me, it's time, uninterrupted time, where I am rested and awake, where I can focus on that and do it right.
Yeah.
And getting that time is for me a challenge, because you know, when I have that kind of time, you know, a Sunday afternoon where I got nothing going on, and I can sit down and do that stuff. I mean, to me, there's nothing better than that. That is just, oh, what an afternoon. Thank you very much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of that is that. And it's not an excuse. It's just a reality. And so people who power through those things, do they have that kind of time, or do they have a different mental approach? I don't know.
You mean power through like cross-stitch projects?
No, more challenging pieces.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe more time.
Yeah.
More they give themselves that time.
Mm-hmm.
Too. You know, it's saying, you know, I'm going to allow myself to have this break, and I'm going to work for 2 hours in the evening on a project that I, you know, that I want to work on.
Yeah, that challenges you.
That challenges you.
Yeah.
And even I was making little X's for quite a while, and I thought, you know what? And then I started scrolling Instagram, and I was like, okay, why am I scrolling Instagram? I'm not tired. It's early, and I realized I was bored. And mm-hmm. So I put my phone down, and I went and picked up Dawn to Dusk.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's challenging.
Right.
I was making decisions on the colors. I had to do a lot of counting. It's on black canvas, so it makes me concentrate. Now, after a while, my eyes did get tired of working on the black canvas, and I stopped and went back to making my little X's. But I wasn't scrolling Instagram.
Right, right. And see, that's the other one. That's one of the other ones that's on my list of I want to do that versus, mm-hmm. oh, I'll do that because some other people have done it and it looks really cool. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on my list.
Because it's challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Each little motif, when I first looked at it, I thought, okay, yeah, this isn't going to be too hard. You know, it's going to be a little challenge, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
No, it is challenging. It has, you know, your tension has to be right, you know, and I'm, of course, because I'm crazy, I change the colors. And so I've got to take things out and put things back in. But I love it. I mean, and even if no one else is stitching it, I want to do this piece.
Yep. And see, the third one for me is that one from the sampler that we made a token start on. I don't remember the name of it now.
Jane Turner.
Yes. That's the third one for me. So why are those three not out on the table? Why am I sitting here looking at 1, 2, 3, 4 projects that I could just as easily put in a drawer? What's wrong with me?
Right. I thought about that the other day. I thought, okay, so, you know, time is limited. And it's getting to be summertime, so I'm going to be out and I'm going to be doing yard work and all that stuff. And we're going to be camping. So what do I really want to work on? What really is calling to me that I want to get done, I want to see progress on, that I would love to have finished before the end of the year? And Dawn to Dusk is the one. And
mm-hmm.
And that's why it is out, and I'm like, okay, just put a strand in the brocade if that's all you have the energy and time to do. That's you've got the pattern, you know what you're doing, just go. Just do it. And if you have a little more energy, add to the motifs. But yeah, it's easy to just say, well, I'm just gonna do a little bit of cross stitching. I'm just gonna do a little bit of something that's a little mindless. But
I think you have to have that piece. You have to have one of those pieces in play.
Mm-hmm.
The mindless cross stitch. But geez, those are pretty easy to come by. You know, that's not, and you know, it sounds like we're making a light of cross stitch. I mean, for a lot of people, that's needlework. That's their enjoyment.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
That is fine.
Yeah. For us, it's not.
No. Right. And for me, I had a stressful week last week. So I did not want to work on something where I had to think, where I had to really do a lot of challenging work. I didn't want to have to pull out all the threads from the Cabinet of Curiosity and look through them. So I did my cross stitch, which is a nice fallback. But that goes back to what Gay Ann Rogers always said. She said she likes having three projects out. One that's challenging, that requires all her, you know, she has to have silence, I think she said, you know, kind of like concentrated work on.
Yeah.
Then like a medium project where, you know, you just have to barrel through. It's like all the background stitch on a needlepoint piece or something, you know, you just got to do it. And it's nice, you know, you do a couple strands and you're done for the day. And then a small project that, you know, pick up, put down. And I think it's easy to work on the two that are the small and the medium and then say, well, I'll get to that large challenging one another time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think it's having the discipline to say, no, I have the energy, or I know I'm going to have time tonight. I'm going to set that up. So when I have the time, when I'm done with my work for the day, I can sit down and work on this piece.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
You're pulling out the parts too. That's the other thing.
Yeah. You know, somebody I admire, and maybe I'm completely off base with this thing, but someone I admire in that vein is our friend, your close friend, Mary Dorter.
Yeah.
Because every time there's that I am involved in conversations with her, I get the distinct impression that Mary stitches what Mary wants, and she is not influenced by anybody or anything. And it's just, and she does some very challenging stuff.
Right.
But I it's just, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but that's my impression of her, is she is not influenced, you know, outside forces do not influence what she stitches. She chooses what she wants and digs in and gets it done.
Right. And I think she likes the challenge. She admires cross stitch pieces. But she also will say, I don't have the time to do those. I have to choose. I have to choose whether I'm going to do the challenging piece or this mindless cross stitch. And I don't have the time to do the cross stitch. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stick with my challenging piece because that's what I want. That's what I want to challenge myself, and I want to get better at it. And she is. She's always challenging herself to get better at her needlework.
Yeah. Well, and she's already darn good at it. So
she's very good. Oh my goodness! Yeah, she's like, I don't know what she was. Oh, she's working on her Cabinet of Curiosity, and she was like, "Oh, I did one of the stitches wrong," and I was like, "It's probably perfect."
Yeah,
you know, probably no one would even notice because it's a little spot on a. And I'm like, she goes, "But I'm not ripping it out. I don't have time."
It's wrong, but it's the most perfect wrong you could ever get. Yeah.
Right. It's probably beautiful. And she's inspiring in that way, because she inspires you to, you know, not to be afraid, and she's willing to tackle those hard things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting thing all the way around, because if you look at the needle arts world, I would suggest that the vast majority of people are cross stitchers.
Right.
And quite frankly, it's all they're interested in doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's a powerful force in terms of what gets done, what charts are bought, threads, and so on and so forth. That's powerful. And that's what's satisfying for people. And I sometimes wonder if it's satisfying because it's something that takes your mind off the daily grind, and it gives you that escape without having to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
And for a lot of them, these smalls that they do, you see an accomplishment.
Right.
And
I think there is that brain chemistry that goes on when you finish something. It gives you that, is it dopamine effect, where your brain gets like a little high. It's like, whoo, I got this done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, it, I think that's the reason people like Smalls. But I also think it goes back to what we talk about with Krista West and the meditative stitching. I really was very stressed last week. So doing cross stitch helped me. I mean, I could pick it up and put it down without having to worry about, oh, my tension's gone on this piece. You know, I mean, I could stop in the middle of a stitch, you know, I could easily find my place. So it allowed me to stitch and it allowed me to relax. And it was very meditative. I could, you know, just kind of work through the problems of the day and de-stress. So there is that good thing about doing the cross stitch.
Huge benefit. Yeah.
Right. But I pulled out, and because I'm thinking I need to get it framed, Gayan Rogers white work sampler. What's it called? The drawn thread.
Yeah, that's gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and I'm thinking, I did this. Mm-hmm. I was looking at it and I was like, wow.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
And I remember being frustrated and challenged by it and it being put away for almost 10 years. So it's one of those pieces, though, that I'm glad I said, okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to buckle down and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing it again made me feel good. You know, just that, hey, I did this.
Yeah. And when you did put your mind to it and got it finished, I mean, it was a beautiful piece. And I got to believe the sense of accomplishment was pretty significant.
Mm-hmm. It was. Okay, I've got to ask you, Elizabethan Treasures, would that be one you could put on a slate frame?
Yep. Oh, I'm way ahead of you. Yep.
Are you?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. No, this conversation and thinking about it, just getting ready for this show, I think there's going to be a flipping of things here in this room. I think we need to... put away there's one cross stitch that I'll keep out, but I think the rest of it all gets put away. And, those two are coming out, Dawn to Dusk and Elizabethan Treasures and, going on slate frames, and we're going to have at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, then for me, it's just, you know, find some time, but you know, let's go.
Right. Well, and I think for like Elizabethan Treasures, you've got to do, there's plenty of, I mean, it looks like you need to do some basting first.
Yeah.
And then it's got some plain satin stitches, you know, to put the bands in before mm-hmm. you do cut work. And I think getting that groundwork in, it gives you some of that medium work, I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you've got medium homework to do. And then when you have some time, after you've laid that groundwork in, you can do some of the more difficult bands.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, a gorgeous piece. I don't think the picture does it justice, but no. Looking inside of the chart, you're like, oh,
mm-hmm.
oh, those bands look gorgeous.
It's a stunning piece. It really is. Mm-hmm. It's outstanding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so, all right, so that, take that, and then let's go back to last Wednesday, okay, the show we had where we were all stitching and look, show, you know, you guys were all talking about things you were working on. Now, I set up to stitch, and I got a few stitches in, and I went back to the old banding sampler thing that I've had sitting around forever that I was using for traveling, but now I don't travel. So now there it sits. And I got that out because that's something I can do while I'm watching all the meters and the conversation and all the things on the screen while we do the show and, you know, putting you guys on full screen and, you know, all those things that go with doing the show, but I can do the stitching. But then at a point I just shoved it aside because it was just basically in the way and there was no way I was going to get stitching because we had a lot of good conversation going on.
Right.
And so then that makes, you know, are you better off stitching by yourself or in a group? And where are you more productive? Now, you tend to find support and motivation if you're in a group.
Yes, but I'm trying to do Montenegrin stitch, and I can't talk to you and do Montenegrin stitch because mm-hmm. I have to do a lot of counting and thinking,
right,
and flipping back and forth in the Amy Minton book. But I do find it encouraging to meet with other people, like the Zoom meetings for the 17th century the casket class. It's just encouraging to talk to other people who are just a little further along than you, who said, no, you know, just keep working at it. It's all going to work out. Or you think you've made a horrible mistake and they're like, no, that's going to be covered. You're fine. Just keep going. and it's because it is kind of scary. It is scary to start something like that. But if I don't mind stitching by myself, and if I had, when I had to do those loops, I had the TV off. I did not have an audiobook on. I think I might have had some calming piano music playing in the background, but that was it. If I had anything, that was it. Either that or Max was playing guitar, which is the same thing for me. So, I do much better on complicated pieces stitching by myself for the most part. Yeah, but the encouragement. Yeah.
So then these group things serve more as a touch point for you.
What they do is they keep me motivated.
Okay.
I guess that's
what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm gonna be meeting with people and it's okay if I haven't touched the piece since then, but I need to touch it when we're getting together. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and be ready to work on it and pull it out. And it kind of keeps it moving forward.
Yeah.
Rather than it languishing and saying, well, okay, I'm going to just work on something else. Well,
but are you productive in those gatherings?
I am.
Okay.
I do get something done. Maybe not as much as if I was by myself, but then if I was by myself, would I work on the piece?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's got the motivating factor of saying, okay, we're going to move this forward. That's why I the white work sampler, that's why I got it done, because Deb DeCrane said she was working on hers and she was encouraging. And I was like, okay, she's doing hers. I can keep plugging along. We'll keep working on it together. So it kind of gives you that motivation, for me at least, of when I work with other people. Now, that's not the same for you.
No. When I'm in those group things, I might as well not even have stitching in front of me. I never have been able to do more than pick at it. And I guess got to be by myself. But that's part of my nature too. I like being by myself just in general. So I'm sure that's just part of my makeup is I just generally do. I like being by myself. A friend of ours from back in Illinois has marveled more than once. You like to just be alone all the time. Why do you do these podcasts? They don't fit at all. And good question. I don't know.
Well, I think that, I mean, I like being by myself, and I do get a lot of stitching done when I'm by myself. And if I were just chit-chatting with people, I bring pieces that I can do more talking, and I don't have to worry about my stitches being exact.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not why I set up Zoom meetings to work on specific projects. I need that motivation. I need someone to say, hey, we're working on this tonight. I'm working on mine. Are you working on yours? You know, that motivator of somebody else working with you. But
I think it helps people too. Mm-hmm. You know, if you set you aside, doing those groups helps people.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised when we started the one for the Cabin of Curiosity. When I started the one I'm doing, I was surprised by how many people are like, yeah, I need to start on mine. I need to work on mine. I want to join you. That's the only time I work on mine is when we get together and do these Zoom meetings. Mm-hmm. And it encourages us, I think, to get together that little bit of time to work on the same project.
Yeah.
So, and to hash out problems, we're mm-hmm. all having, or, you know, so one of us is having, and, you know, we can help each other out through it. But yeah.
No, I think it does. I accurate or not, doing these podcasts, I mean, I believe that in one way or another, they help people.
And I think before I became a part of Fiber Talk, I mean, I loved listening. I learned so much about the different designers. I learned about stitching. I learned different techniques. It was just, I found it fascinating. And so I think it does. It adds something to the needlework world, mm-hmm. Nothing else. There's nothing else out there that I've like Fiber Talk, really, especially with us talking everybody, I think of Jennifer and her tamari balls. Mm, yeah. Someone said, oh, we should do a tamari ball workshop. And I was like, okay, I don't need something else. I need to. I don't need a tamari ball, but her ball, those are beautiful. They're gorgeous.
Amazing. She's just amazing in general.
Yeah.
Like the other night there where it didn't feel good. So I sat there and spun yarn. Oh man, for me, that'd be a major undertaking. No, that's my release. I just didn't feel good. So I sat and spun yarn. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Big mm-hmm. tip of the cap there. Yep.
Yeah. And it was beautiful. And I know. Said, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I'm like, that just is just look gorgeous. At it. I know. Pet it. I want to pet it.
That was the other thing. I just spun some yarn. It was gorgeous.
Jeez. I know.
Yeah. She's amazing. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Here it is. All right. I'm inviting you to do a museum exhibition. All right. Mm-hmm. Do you have enough pieces that you could do an exhibition? Finished, like framed, whatever. Not just canvases laying in a drawer. Do you have enough that you think are good enough to hang on a wall for an exhibition that you could proudly stand there on opening night with wine and cheese? You know what I mean?
I would say no. I think I have enough to do an exhibition. I'm just thinking I have a wall in my basement where I finally got mad, and all the ones that were framed, they just went up on that wall, and my kids always laugh because no one sees them except me when I exercise. But they are not – I know they're they're not perfect. Mm-hmm. But they are all finished and they are framed. But good enough for a wine and cheese exhibition? I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
Mainly because when I look in my head at those pieces that are on the wall, they are, I was learning techniques. I was changing colors where I hadn't really ever done it before. And I just thought, well, I'll just try it. And here we go. I can see the errors in them now.
Okay. All right. Let's take that from a different angle. Do you have enough that other people think are good enough that you could do an exhibition?
Mm.
Take the I know where the errors factor out.
Probably not. I don't think I have enough.
Okay.
There's probably like four or five that I would say, okay, yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Those could be exhibited. Mm-hmm. There's some, and our guild has a show, and I've shown them there. But I don't think I have enough. And that would be a whole lot. Now, do you have that many framed and finished?
I think I could put eight on a wall that mm-hmm. I would be able to say, stand there and say, thank you very much when somebody says that's beautiful. not, oh, thanks, but, you know, this or thanks, but that. No, I think I have eight that, but that's all. It's a very small exhibition, you know.
Well, and I was just thinking, now that I think about it, I do have a couple of Gay Ann Rogers hearts that anytime they're hanging right by my entry on a tree. Mm-hmm. And anytime someone new comes to the house, they stop, they look, they do touch them.
No,
because they're right hanging there. Right? They're hanging right there. But they'll look and they'll say, these are gorgeous. These are beautiful. Now they were professional. The ones that are, they're looking at the ones that were professionally finished, not the ones I finished. But yeah, maybe those. I didn't even think of those. Because mm-hmm. There's a couple of them that I'm pretty proud of.
So it sounds like we could both do an exhibition in the entry area of a local needlework store.
Right.
Or we could do an exhibition in a small restaurant.
Yes.
But wine and cheese night at an actual museum, not so much.
No, because wouldn't you need like 20?
I would think.
Yeah. It's not like they're quilts. Like I've heard people say you need like, they could do like 8 quilts. Well,
yeah, that's different. Yeah.
Yeah. Ours are way smaller.
Yeah. Because see, all right, so I remember next time we're together, we ask Cindy and Jennifer. Because Jennifer Jennifer could do an exhibition of tamari balls just on its own.
Oh, yeah.
I bet that would be stunning.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know Cindy's got enough stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. She could pull some from her mom if she needed to.
Right. Yeah. But you know she does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can't.
Mm-mm. Well, but you have finished things that are finished but that aren't framed, correct?
A couple, three, but still.
Yeah. Okay. Not that many.
No, I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't get up to 20. No.
Yeah. I definitely not 20 that I would say, yeah.
Yeah. Because, see, it has to be pieces that your response, wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, thanks, mm-hmm. but you have to, I think you have to be able to stand there and not have that go through your mind every time.
Right.
Just to be able to say, well, thank you. That worked out well. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And do that without faking it. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a higher bar, quite frankly.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I admire artists who can do that. Just in general. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a lot of pressure to do an exhibit, to do something right. In a gallery. I just can't imagine.
Yeah. Okay. See?
Yeah.
Fun. All right. We have not done overrated, underrated in several shows here. All right. So now in light of last week's conversation with Kelly, overrated, underrated, stitching lights and magnifiers.
I still think stitching lights are underrated. I think you need a good light. But magnifiers, probably overrated.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I think stitching light, good stitching lights, indispensable. Because that was interesting. Kelly has a magnifier light. She said like mine, but she only uses the light because she has the right glasses.
Mm-hmm.
See, and your glass contraption that you use, you know, you just need good light.
Right.
And that works for you.
Right.
See, I got to get there. See, I'm not there. I got to have that magnifier. I can't do it.
Right. And this is what was interesting to me the other day. I don't know where I was. It was some artificial light place.
Glass contraption. That sounds like a real cobbled together with that. But I mean, it works for you. You know, that's the thing. It works, and it works consistently. So, yeah, you can't fault it. I mean, it's, you know, it works.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But I've got to say, I think lighting is way more important. And people just – I heard someone say, oh, I can't stitch on 40 cal. It's too small. But they can do 36. And I was thinking, I wonder how much light you have because –
that difference isn't that much.
No. And lighting makes a huge difference.
Yep.
Huge difference. Like I'm stitching on 45 count right now and I'm not having any difficulty with it. And I'm not using a stronger pair of glasses or anything. It's 45 is fine, but I have a lot of light shining on it too. Mm-hmm. And that makes a huge difference. I think light. You need the light.
Way underrated there. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I'm hoping that my next doctor visit that the magnifier will become a non-issue.
Yeah. And then you could just use your light, which, right. You know.
Because think how much easier that is.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to be anywhere.
Right. Right. And I know Cindy uses those Craft Optic glasses. But they look a little too odd. I mean, I look funny with my double glasses. I admit people laugh at me, but I can't imagine the hoots and hollers I'd get if I started wearing those. My family would just be like, "Mom, are you becoming a dentist?" No.
No, leave me alone.
Leave me alone. Yep. Leave me alone.
Yep. Just leave me
alone. Come close and I'll stab you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I have a weapon in my hand, so keep messing with me. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but you know, but those work for Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
But then are the Craft Optics taking the place of a good set of stitching glasses as Kelly described?
Right. Well, and I think the difference though too is Cindy does stitch in groups like at the library, at mm-hmm. her guild. So it means she doesn't have to take an extra light. She already has it.
The portability is huge. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that makes, I think that too makes a difference because if you need a specific light and you can't go anywhere without that light and stitch, it limits your ability to go to retreats, to seminars, to stitchy group meetings, you know, all the things. So.
Yeah, because Cindy has just pulled those things out. She has her light, her magnifier, everything. She's ready to go. Yep.
Right.
All set. Yeah.
So, yeah, there's an advantage to that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. All right. Group projects, underrated, overrated?
I'm going to say overrated because I'm stuck on the one I'm doing as a group project.
Okay.
I always remember my oldest would complain when they assigned him in college. I have to work in a group. I just want to do it myself and get it done. But I'm working on we're working on the sampler book for my guild from Erica Michaels. And it's a lovely pattern. I've looked at it many times, but it's smalls. And I don't like smalls. You are learning a lot of neat stitches on it. So I highly recommend it if you want to learn new stitches. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, I'm making smalls. I don't like smalls.
Yeah.
So I'm stuck on O right now. And I think O was supposed to be done in March and I'm supposed to be moving on. And I'm like, what happens if I abandon this project? Is this bad? I'll find out when I go to my guild meeting. If I might mention it to people and I know what they'll say, but you know, we'll see. Yeah. Overrated.
Way overrated for me. I won't add nothing to do with them. Thank you. Pass. Nope. I'm out. Yep. All right. We're going to take another stab at Would You Rather.
Okay.
We tried Would You Rather a couple weeks ago. Kind of worked, but we're going to take another stab at it. All right. So would you rather silk thread or Krynek?
Oh, that is so hard because, I'm thinking of the Vicki Clayton silks and laying them, the silks I'm using on the casket. There's a lot of silk on that. Jane Turner, we kitted that up in silk. I just kitted it up in silk. I don't know what you kitted it in.
But, oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But Krynek, you know, what would you do without that sparkle? And especially if you're doing needlepoint. Think of Fibonacci squares, squirrels, whatever I call it, squares all the time. Fibonacci swirls without the little bit of bling in there. Oh, I think I would stitch with DMC and Krynek. If you said you could never do it again, I never stitch without the Krynek. I would keep my Krynek and stitch with DMC, although I love silk. But then, wait, I have to take that back. Then I wouldn't be able to finish my casket.
Nope.
Oh, shoot. This is too hard.
Yeah, this is where Would You Rather works. Because, you got to give up. It's got to be one or the other.
Man,
so something gets sacrificed, see?
I can't. I need them both. I need them both. How can you stitch? I mean, I've got a lavender and lace angel, and I know she has Krynek in her.
Uh-huh.
And it just beads or it just won't do. You need the Krynek in it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is too hard.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And then needlepoint. Think of Debbie Rowley's or Curdy's pieces.
Yep.
Jean Hilton's.
Mm-hmm.
She uses tons of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you gave it up, you'd have that whole sector of stitching would pretty much go out the window.
Right. I mean, you can substitute threads. Okay, you know, there is that. But nothing gives that sparkle.
No.
Nothing. I mean, and I'm thinking of the big Jean Hilton piece I have, which also I think it was Roe Pace and Jean Hilton stitched together, Venetian Delight. You do, I mean, a trillion Smyrna crosses in Krynek with that piece.
Okay, but then you don't have silk thread.
Oh, but then how would you live without the Trebizond?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Now, could you substitute Rainbow Galleries?
Well, I think no. No, I think we're talking Krynek is Krynek almost as a generic metallic thread sparkle. Yeah.
See, I don't know if I could live without either. Can I give up my first child? No.
Okay. You can't do that. No.
Okay.
That's
no.
Not an option. Mm-mm.
Not an option. Oh, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I will. And because when you think about it, you know, the silk, I mean, I could do most cross stitch with just DMC. That's fine. But I'm not talking that. I'm talking, okay, we've got Elizabethan Treasures and it's kitted in silk.
Mm-hmm.
No sparkly gold, but the silk.
Something has to go away. A big chunk of something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think now I'm backtracking. I guess I'd have to say the sparkly would have to go away, although it would be incredibly difficult. Only because I have the box is mainly silks. I've got a stitch with it. And it's beautiful and it's different. But man, it'd be hard. Because there's nothing else to substitute for that sparkly thread. No. There's nothing like it.
No, you can't just pull another thread and put it in there and say, hey, that'll do a job. No, doesn't work.
No. No, or even beads. You know, sometimes people will add beads or add instead of the sparkly thread.
You might be there's one if you're creative, you might be able to make it work with beads.
Right. But
and
I think
and gold work.
A gold one. See, there you go.
You could find that way around it, but it still wouldn't be.
No, because you know those all the sparkly Rainbow Gallery and Krynek come in such a wide variety of sparkly widths, and there's round, there's flat, there's twisted. There's yeah, there's all sorts of stuff, and it gives an effect that there's nothing like it.
Right.
There's just nothing like it.
Yeah, even as much as they can be frustrating, any of those threads can be frustrating to stitch with, the effect mm-hmm. they have, there's it doesn't match anything. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so how about you? How about you? Would you give up your silk?
I have all the same reservations, but I think I would go the silk route. But it's really, it's like 1A, 1B, you know, 1A, yeah. Because, I mean, how many counted canvas pieces? Yeah, like you said, without Krynek, they're just boring.
Right, right.
But the silk, I think I have to have the silk threads.
Right, and I'm even thinking, okay, I'm thinking of like Gann Rogers, some of her queens, mm-hmm. they use just a little bit of sparkle in them, and it just sets it off.
Yep. Yeah. Well, she has that talent. She doesn't right. overdo anything. It's just mm-mm. just enough.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so we're talking some. It's I think it's Accentuate or Bijou or something like that that she sometimes uses in the background or on those pieces, and it just adds just a little bit.
Yep.
That makes a huge difference in the piece. Yeah, you could live without it, but what would happen?
Yeah, and the problem with that, if you're using just enough, if it's gone, the whole piece is not mm-hmm. anywhere near the same, yeah.
Right, well, it flattened it out.
Right.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
One more would you rather, and then we got to end this thing. Talent or determination?
Determination. And only because I think you can develop a skill. You might not be as talented, like I will, you know, as talented as Gann Rogers. I'm just going to pick on her today. You know, she's got a designing skill. She's got a great eye. But if you're determined, you could learn what you need to know to get close to where she is.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But just talent alone, I don't think is enough. I think if you have talent, you might say, well, I can do this. I can do this. But I think you need that determination to say, I'm gonna make this work.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a pretty easy call for me. For me, it's determination too. I mean, to me, so much of what people accomplish, no matter what it is just sheer effort.
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with talent, and you know people point. Well, you so and so is so talented. Nah, I bet you a big chunk of that talent is just sheer effort, day after day after day, just pounding away at it till they get it. And mm-hmm. It's that determination, just effort, that. And you know, it's. I mean, Mary Corbett will say that about you know can you do this challenging piece? Well. Yeah, anybody can do it if you're determined to do it and you're willing to work at it, you can do it. And she's dead right. It's, at some point, it's needle and thread. So yes, you can do it if you're willing to put in the effort and
right, right. And just yeah. and plug away at it. It's it, you know and maybe you don't have the skill right when you start. Like any of white work is one of those ones. I think people get. We all get terrified about it because you're cutting the base right. fabric and, you know, and it's white. And so it shows when you make a mistake, if your tension is off, if you've started your thread going a different direction than you should have on a satin stitch. And you can kind of see like that stitch, it looks like I skipped a thread or something.
Yeah.
There's tricks. But if you learn, if you're willing to take the time, you can get better at it. And you can develop the skills.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you take your high-end embroidery artists, Nicola mm-hmm. Jarvis, Jenny Aiden Christie, any of them. Well, and Mary Corbett right in with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I would love, with any given design, I would love to be the fly on the wall from scratch to finish and see how much gets trashed. I bet it's more than you think.
Mm-hmm.
That it just nope, yes, no, maybe if I do this, nope, You just know that there's time after time after time, and pretty soon it starts to gel, and then they have something. And that's just effort. That's just pure effort.
Right. You know. Right. And I always laugh because I'll tell someone, well, I'm ripping that out. And it's someone who doesn't necessarily stitch. They'll look at it and say, that looks fine. It's okay. I'm like, no, it bugs me. I've looked at it too many times.
Yep.
It's wrong. It must come out.
Yep.
You know, and sometimes I leave things because it is, you know, it's a time and you don't need to be a perfectionist about everything. But other times, if you keep looking at it and say, that bugs me. I see it every time. It bugs me. Then it needs to come out because you're going to see it and you're going to see it and you're going to see it.
It's the only thing you'll see.
Right. And the only way you can really get better. And if you want to get better at a technique, you must be willing to rip it out. Must be.
Yep. Yep. So. All right. That's it. Lita O'Hara, the Nashville Needle Pointer, Nashville Needle Pointer on Finishing Sunday, Stitch Hour next Wednesday night. And be sure and listen to last Sunday's show with Kelly Teske on vision. It will help you. I guarantee it. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.